And we welcome you to Jags of the Roundtable as we prepare for tonight's matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. JP Shadrick with Brian Sexton and John Osier. Let's get right into it, guys. Bigger story right now. Is it the offensive line, the interior of that line, or is it Blake Bortles' camp?
Well, I know what you're going to say, so I'll let go first.
Oh, it's the offensive line. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. I think we all know what Blake Bortles is designed to be this year, and that's the number two quarterback in a learning curve. But when you look at this offensive line, yeah, Luke Jokel is a sensational talent. We can still talk about his game action in terms of quarters. I mean, that's like having a two-year-old and saying he's 22 months and not 24. He's got 17 quarters. In fact, if you take Zane Beadle's 62 career starts out of the mix, there are 13 other players in the offensive line room that have a combined 47 starts.
And all that's great, except Blake Bortles is the storyline of this camp, of this preseason, until he gets in. Because I'm looking at the future of this franchise. And he showed good things on Saturday night, and now you want to see him sort of continue to build on it. It's not going to be an overnight thing, but you want to see him keep putting good things together. That's the number one storyline until he starts to me.
And speaking of that, let's move along to the quarterback, Blake Bortles. What does he have to do to be able to start?
Well,
if that happens.
First of all, I don't think it can happen, certainly not until midseason or maybe later until we see the season play out. He's just got to continue looking like the guy. He's got to do the things that are going to inspire confidence. Some of that can happen after the preseason in terms of just looking the part and gradually gaining the confidence of the guys in the locker room, the coaches, and the GM.
I just want to say that if that can't happen this year, then isn't the offensive line a bigger story?
I said it can't happen. No.
All right. What does he have to do to listen to him and to Gus? Yeah. Consistency. He's just got to go through the motions, go through the classroom and the practice and all of the reps, and that's just going to take time. And when we see that he is comfortable, we'll know it. You'll know it. You'll see it, mm-hmm. And that's when it, you know, what he's got to do. But as far as I'm concerned, it's just a matter of number of practices, games that he learns, and eventually he'll be the guy.
Let's move on to a revamped group this year. The defensive line, especially that pass rush, a lot of names. That was the idea, is to have guys that could come in and cycle through. But a lot of younger guys getting some camp preference, and it's guys like Ryan Davis and Chris Smith that have really stood out so far.
Well, Todd Walsh, you know, spoke with the media earlier this week, and you know, he immediately went to those young guys. He was asked about Chris Clemons and Andre Branch, but he immediately went to Ryan Davis and Chris Smith and talked about the intangibles that he's seen from each one of these guys. You know, Smith is 6'2", but has the arm length mm-hmm. of a 6'4" guy. You know, Ryan Davis understands that he's got to win with technique. He can't do it with sheer size or incredible quickness. And, you know, those are two guys who then immediately went out on the practice field and had a really good day yesterday.
Well, I think it's a key story this week. I wrote a little bit about the Leo position, the possibility of four and all that. Whatever you say about that, Todd Walsh is talking about Chris Smith and Ryan Davis. A clear sign those guys are going to make the roster. And a good sign for Ryan Davis that you're now starting to get guys who are sort of coming out of nowhere with a chance to contribute. I'll be watching those guys tonight.
Well, Davis is a guy that has also shown the ability to move inside. He's not big. He's 6'2". He's about 260 pounds. To move and rush from the inside, which is versatility. They've got a lot of names at a position that most people thought was just blank.
Let's move on to playing time. Preseason games, that's always a storyline. How long do the starters play, and what is the value for a preseason game for starters?
Well, I'd guess it's about a quarter and a half. That's usually sort of what you feel. That could change if you have a couple of times early where there's a turnover on a punt or something weird happens. I would expect first unit about a quarter and a half, second unit about a quarter and a half, and then that second unit gets in. Guess who I'll be watching, Brian?
Chuck McClendon at center?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. The value depends on the position, and it depends on the team. So for this group, for this team, you know, you're going to want to see Chad Henne out there trying to figure out some cohesion with his receivers because they've all been out there. The offensive line needs more time together. Defensive line, you're not going to see much of Chris Clemons or Red Bryant. In fact, if this were the Seahawks playing the Bucs, you wouldn't see much of the starters anyway. The value for the Jaguars is evaluating and building chemistry, which is still the hallmark of where Gus and Dave are.
I do want to see somebody I know you're interested in too, Denard Robinson. I think a huge couple of weeks preseason, no matter where he gets time.
Well, we've talked about him so much this spring, and he's caught the ball so well. Now let's see him put it together. Pick up in pass protection, catch the ball when they throw it to him out of the backfield, and then do what he did last year. put his nose in there and surprise everybody with how tough a runner he is between the tackles.
Let's finish real quick. Some names to watch tonight. You mentioned a few, a couple others each.
Well, I'd say Denard is a guy that I'm really interested in seeing. And a lot of the other spots. I want to see Dwayne Gratz. I want to see Jonathan Cypress. I want to see if those guys have really matured the way you expect them to. And I'm watching outside linebackers. Can those guys come along and be ready for the opening day?
Well, I mean, obviously Marquise Lee. I want to see, you know, the speed. I saw him last week in the scrimmage get in the slot and lined up between a safety and a linebacker. He's going to win that most of the time. But that's a big name. Everybody's been looking at that. I want to see Leroy Reynolds. You know, he's going to be playing the auto position. And last year, you know, he was just a spot duty guy. Is it flippant if I say I want to see Ramsey Barden?
It might be a touch flippant.
That's what this show's all about. I was interested in him in 2009 when he came out of Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, 6'7". Anybody who can catch the ball, please.
Guess what,
anybody,
Ryan,
who can catch the ball.
Whether you want to see him or not, you're going to see him. This team is down to receivers. And I think the elephant in the room at this point, guys,
right.
Round table.
It's not round.
No.
It's not round, John. Last week you pointed out that it was our round table. This is just our table.
I missed our little round table.
It is our square table. Well done, guys. Buccaneers, Jaguars tonight at 7:30. We'll see you next week before the Jaguars visit Soldier Field and the Chicago Bears.